Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can reach them online at rileysguns.com. Attorney Penny Dean coming up next to answer your Second Amendment questions right here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number right here on Bulldog Live as we talk to attorney Penny Dean. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a few weeks since we've chatted.
I'm telling you, you've been on, I guess, bereavement, vacation, however we phrase it.
Yeah, really. Paying tribute to the man who gave me the Bulldog name. That was last week, and then the week before was the presidential primary, so.
Oh, my God.
Whew, man, time flies.
I can't believe it sometimes. And then, I have to tell you, this week is a banner week. I've been in New Hampshire since 95, and I don't recall a week with more firearm bills in the State House ever in my life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before we get to them, I do want to ask you for your opinion on this. Yesterday's U.S. Supreme Court decision regarding GPS tracking devices.
It's really quite interesting. There was the case out of Minnesota or Wisconsin, because where you see this used most, okay, in addition to the police doing it, which is wonderful that they've now said that's a search, is in the domestic context. In other words, people do it to each other all the time.
Okay, yeah, well.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, let's say a person thinks their spouse is cheating on them.
Mm-hmm.
They put one on the car, but because it's jointly owned, you can't do a darn thing about it because you're allowed to put a GPS on your own car.
Right.
You know, but I think that the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court is, initially, what they said about these, which was really interesting, the lower court years ago said, look, all you're doing is reporting what's going on in a public place. In other words, if anyone were looking in a public place, they could see where that person is going. Okay?
Right.
And they said this is just a more efficient way. And I'm really glad to see the U.S. Supreme Court is going back and saying, wait a minute, this is still private. If you want to spend the resources of 10 police cars to successfully track somebody all day, have at it. But if you really want to track them minute by minute, bit by bit, you got to get a warrant.
That's right. And here's what Justice Scalia wrote for the majority opinion. Says, it is important to be clear about what occurred in this case. The government physically occupied private property for the purpose of obtaining information. We have no doubt that such a physical intrusion would have been considered a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment when it was adopted. We hold that the government's installation of a GPS device on a target's vehicle and its use of that device to monitor the vehicle's movements constitutes a search. Isn't that nice?
It is. It is, because, you know, the other side argued that the tiny tracking device to the car's undercarriage was too trivial a violation of property rights to matter.
Yeah, because it was parked in a public lot when they attached it to it.
That's exactly right. And so the bottom line is...
But it was on the car for like 3 months.
Yeah. And so the bottom line is, so if you get a listening device that's really small, it's so small it's in your car, it doesn't matter. Your Fourth Amendment rights wouldn't be violated according to the federal government's position.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, go ahead.
And I think you're right. You know, Justice Scalia emphasized the Fourth Amendment's close connection to property. And basically what he said there is powerful. No matter how small or minimal the intrusion, it's still an intrusion worthy of protection.
There you go. That's it. Well, Penny, let's talk about the legislature and what are some of the many bills that are coming up.
Well, believe it or not, as we speak, okay, we basically have all sorts of new bills today. We have HB 1179, which is a bill that adds health care worker as a protected person. In other words, they have all these what I call special people, where if you assault, and the term assault isn't what regular people think it means, okay? Any of what I call the special people, you get additional penalties. And I believe people are people. Right now, you get law enforcement officer, paid firefighter, volunteer firefighter, on-call firefighter, licensed emergency medical care provider, and now they want to add health care providers. And the question that I've always had is, why aren't people people? Why do certain people get extra special protection in the law?
Yeah, if you beat the snot out of somebody, it doesn't matter what they do for a living. The fact is, you beat the snot out of somebody and it hurts.
That's bingo, bingo. And I've got to tell you, criminal justice and public safety are going to be busy bees today. The next bill that we should talk about is HB 1342, and that's being heard in the LOB 301 at 1130 today. And this bill basically prohibits lobbying with our tax dollars. And this is a huge, huge, huge important bill.
Oh, how appropriate for the timing. No, go ahead.
It absolutely is, because anyone who knows anything about the Municipal Association, they are as anti-firearm and anti-freedom as it comes, okay? Mm-hmm. They are supported by your tax dollars. Many cities and towns pay tens of thousands of dollars a year to join the Municipal Association. And they give you all these horse feather reasons, oh, we buy insurance from them, we do this, we do that. Well, do they have the corner on the market on selling insurance?
I
bet there's a lot of entities in the state that would be happy for their business. And the bottom line is, we are talking about our tax dollars being used to lobby against our rights. And so this bill would basically prohibit any department using state funds to lobby. And they go even further down the line, and towns can't use funds, taxpayer funds for lobbying, and they go on and on and on. It's just a fabulous bill, and people should consider calling their reps and their senators and saying, please support 1342 and stop using our tax dollars against us.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is HB 1476, and basically what it says is, we won't enforce any out-of-state laws, rules, codes, and fees in this state. Which makes sense to me.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
We had this issue with the other states, well, like Massachusetts, trying to collect sales taxes from New Hampshire residents.
Yeah, and they're basically trying to make them an arm of the Commonwealth, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so this bill, HB 1476, which is being heard at 1130 in the LOB 206, says, look, it is against the law to enforcement out-of-state laws, rules, codes, and fees. No New Hampshire court, department, political subdivision, or state or local official shall enforce any law, rule, code, or fee of another state if such law, rule, code, or fee has not been specifically approved by the New Hampshire legislature.
Well, give us another example of how that could apply.
Well, what if they enforce, for example, in some states, let's say they enforce an anti-trapping bill, okay, and so you can't trap, and if you do certain things in this state, we're going to charge you, okay? A normal person may not know that the things they do in another state are illegal, and so what if they do that in another state, they didn't know it's illegal, and they want them to take away the New Hampshire hunting privileges? They said, look, they broke a hunting law in our state, we want to take away their hunting privileges. And the bottom line is, we say, wait a minute, that's ridiculous. We'd never have such a law in our state, and no reasonable person would know that that's a law.
Uh-huh. So not only try to take away their hunting privileges in the state where this violation is alleged to have occurred, but then try to go after their New Hampshire license,
right,
as well.
Right, and they'd go to New Hampshire and say, hey, listen. And we'd say, wait a minute, that's a ridiculous law. And right now in New Hampshire, for example, if you commit a felony in another state, and that felony wouldn't be a felony in New Hampshire, we reserve the right to say, wait a minute, we're not going to treat that like a felony. We wouldn't treat it like a felony in New Hampshire because it's a ridiculous law, and we're not going to enforce it as such here.
Okay.
You know, and that makes sense because we have some states.
Oh, yeah. I think we've had this discussion before about what's a felony in another state, what's not here, and how it precludes your ability to purchase firearms here.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that are really treated differently from state to state. And I think the bottom line is that it's very interesting. Now, the next bill we have, which is really interesting to me, is HB 1318. And basically, I have always been aware that there's a rule in the House that if a piece of legislation is either killed or passed through the House, that it can't be reintroduced the same term or the next term. This is exactly verbatim HB 330. HB 330 was a bad firearms bill.
Okay.
And there was like 20 different renditions of it. During the course of its life through the general court, or through the House, HB 330 had 28 different faces. But HB 1318 is word for word, comma for comma, period for period, HB 330. Needs to be killed.
Wow.
You know,
Wait, stop right there. Let me think about this one for a second. So this House Bill 1318...
Yep.
Would say you're not allowed to introduce similar pieces of legislation either in that session or in the following year, assuming it's part of the same, you know, general court, right?
No. What happened is...
Okay, go ahead.
330 was supposed to be what people labeled, who didn't actually read the bill, okay, constitutional carry. It was supposed
right.
to be good.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, it is over in the Senate languishing. It's had 28 different faces and more amendments than I can count.
Yes.
Okay. And it's just hanging out there. This bill, 1318, is introduced in the House. But if you read it, period by period, comma by comma, word by word, it is absolutely identical
to House
to
Bill
HB 330.
Oh, but okay. I got it now.
Now, the reason that's important...
Where the heck did I come up with that other conclusion? But anyway...
But no, the reason what you're thinking of, I'm sure, is there is a House rule, and I'm looking for it right now, that says limitation and publication of killed bills or second-year session, drafting, introduction, prohibition of legislation similar to that indefinitely postponed, voted ITL, or made the subject of a statutory study committee in first-year session or retained in committee for action. And that's House rule... I believe it's Rule 35, but I could be wrong. But the bottom line is there's a House rule that prohibits basically reintroducing the same legislation that's already been dealt with. Because what we don't want to do is waste the legislators' time. Those people are
right.
busy as heck. They hear a million bills. And so the question is, how did this get past the Speaker and the committee chairman and everyone else who's supposed to be looking out for this? When this is the same bill, word by word, period by period, and line by line.
yeah, good question.
I've seen legislative services before say to someone, gee, the same idea is dealt with this and this and this bill, so therefore we're not going to deal with it. So how do we get one that's identical put through?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a darn good question.
So that bill is going to be supposedly heard today. Okay, and so the bottom line is in criminal justice and public safety. And so I think...
They can ITL that, too.
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly right. ITL that. And then we have another bill, which is HB 1375. Now, HB 1375, on first blush, is going to say... that a person is guilty of a felony if they've done all these certain things. Okay, and people say, well, gee, these are crimes. Why wouldn't we make them guilty of a felony if they have in his possession or control a pistol, revolver, and have done all these other things? Okay, if they're a convicted felon. But one of the provisions of this has to do with assault, and I call it Ward Bird 2. Mm-hmm. And here's why. When 651-22G passed, which is the bill that basically imprisoned Ward Burt, I told everyone, I said, look, this bill is going to be used against firearm owners in self-defense cases. And everyone said, oh, no, it's meant to use against criminals and felony assaults and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, when they charge law-abiding citizens in self-defense cases, they charge them as a felony. And I said, so this bit, you know, 651-22G, the one that was basically fixed because of what happened to Ward Bird, I said, this is going to be used against law-abiding gun owners. Well, sure enough, over time, I was proved right. HB 1375 is the same thing. It has provisions in it that are intended to apply to criminals, but I'm telling you they're going to be used against law-abiding citizens in self-defense cases. And so they either need to kill the bill or dramatically rewrite it. Because if not, we're going to see these provisions that are designed for criminals used against people in self-defense cases.
And what's that House Bill 1375 you said?
It's House Bill 1375. It's being heard at 1:30 today in LOB 204, which is Criminal Justice and Public Safety.
I'm going to have to pull that up. Now, for some reason, my computer's not
cooperating. I emailed it to you.
Oh, you did? Okay, I haven't seen any emails from you today. So,
oh, my God, yeah. I emailed the whole pile. Sorry.
Oh, boy. It must have been that solar flare that Peter and Ken were talking about that occurred around 9 o'clock.
Darn it, I hate it when it messes up those things. Now, because these are all bills today, and here's what's important to know. There are massive bills today. There's massive bills tomorrow. There's massive bills Thursday. There's massive bills Friday.
Holy cow.
This week is a week, and when I say massive bills of interest to firearm owners. That's the important thing. I've never seen a week like this in my entire life. Every day, wall to wall, every half hour on the hour, almost, there are bills of importance to firearm owners this week. So everyone should be watching Gun Owners in New Hampshire website, watching for email alerts, watching to know that all of these things are coming up.
All right.
Now, there's more to come. This Tuesday, which is today.
Well, hold on a second. Let's get in this word from Riley Sports Shop, shall we? Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. They're located at 1575 Hooksett Road, and you can call them at 485-5000. They are the biggest gun shop in New Hampshire, and I'll argue they're the biggest defender of your Second Amendment rights as well. With very knowledgeable staff to help you get the right firearm for your needs. And these people know what they're doing. They're out there hunting. They're out there using a lot of what they sell. And they're the best people in town. That's for sure. So now what's next, Penny?
HB 1187. That is going to be heard at 1:30 today, LOB 306. And it's what's called a civil defense bill. And it's a commission on emergency preparedness. And they want to amend RSA 4 by inserting after Section 47 a section that a commission is established on emergency preparedness. And my concern, as usual, is that the commission shall prepare for possible action in the event of a catastrophic occurrence that renders the federal government unable to function. My concern always, even though they say, oh, we're going to have constitutional scholars, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, okay? My concern always is we need to watch. Right now, the committee doesn't seem to have, or what the commission wouldn't have on this bill, authority to really do anything. However, it's very easy with a change of a pen to give them authority, and the bottom line is we need to watch because we know what's happened in Katrina. Even though in theory we have protective legislation in New Hampshire, we can see what's happened elsewhere in cases of emergency.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we need to worry about our firearm owners' rights. Now, next, we really need to look at Wednesday. We have a whole slew of bills as well. And Wednesday's bills, there's a lot of watch ones, but I think what's of note is that what we want to call, remember the individual that sued the landowner where he said he was hunting on his land, the landowner said he wasn't?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and the gentleman didn't have a license and allegedly was drinking adult beverages and all sorts of things. HB 1551 is being heard at 11 a.m. in LOB 307. And that bill is intended to strengthen the Landowner Protection Bill. I'm not sure it's going to go far enough, but it's a good darn start because individuals thought with the bill or the law in place that we had protection for landowners for recreational users on the land.
Right.
And that case showed us that we didn't have the protection that we thought. That suit was voluntarily withdrawn. But what if that suit had went forward? The question is, the law allowed it to be filed. Would it have been protective enough to protect that homeowner?
Exactly, because then the landowner would have to have spent money on a lawyer, take time off of work to go in court, and you know the rest of the story.
Right, and that landowner already did. He had to have money for a lawyer to answer the complaint. He had to, you know, there's a lot of things that had to be done there, and that landowner thought he had protection, and he really didn't have that protection.
How about in a case like that, if the person filing the lawsuit under that kind of a scenario, how about if they withdraw the case or if they're, you know, the landowner is found, you know, found innocent? How about the person who filed the case has to pay the landowner's attorney's fees? Why can't we do something like that?
We absolutely could and should, and time off work. Because think about all the grief and the time the landowner spends helping the attorney.
Right.
Because the attorney can't prepare the case on the loan. They need the landowner's help, you know, with the specific facts and such, which means if that person has a job, they have to take time off from work.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of things. Now, let me tell you the most defensive to freedom and liberty.
And I'll have about a minute or two remaining.
Okay, HB 1341, which is being heard Wednesday at 2 o'clock in LOB 307, says that no person authorized to hunt, fish, or trap under this title shall enter into any contract with, lease, or otherwise arrange with a private landowner. And here's what it basically says. You own land, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a few extra bucks, so you say, Penny, I will post my land, and if you pay me $500 a year, I'll only allow you to hunt on my land.
Okay.
This says you can never do that, that you cannot lease your land to hunters, to one person, and keep other people out.
Why?
Because this law would prohibit you from doing that.
I know, but why would it even be proposed?
Anti-freedom, anti-liberty.
Ah, yes. Okay, I'm silly. Pardon me for asking such a silly question.
You know, but what I'm trying to say is that even if you don't care about hunting, which of course I do, even if you don't care about shooting, which I do, this is an alienation of private property and private contract rights.
Who proposed this stupid bill?
You know, that's a good darn question. I don't have the sponsor's name in front of me.
That's okay. I'll go look it up.
Yeah, the bottom line is that when you look at bills like that, you have to go, okay, this is a huge, huge problem that someone would even consider introducing this bill in New Hampshire.
Yes.
You know, or anywhere, because what I'm trying to say is if you don't have private property rights, they can just as easily add shooting. They can just as easily add hunting, fishing, and trapping is already there. What if they add camping? You might feel like, you know, releasing your land to a group so they could camp there all the time. There's a million things that a person does with their own land that, as long as it's lawful, they should be allowed to do that.
Exactly. That's where I was thinking. All right. Well, with that, Penny, I got to go. If anybody has more questions about this, Gun Owners of New Hampshire website, gonh.org, has the full list on here. Woo!
They do. If you check on Legislative Update and go to Skywatch, it's changed every day. It's really quite comprehensive.
It sure is. Well, Penny, if anybody has any questions, how do they get in touch with you?
230-9999.
All right. Thank you very much, and let's do it again next Tuesday.
We will.
All right. Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse.